As a guest preacher, it's hard to know what to preach about, and so I was scanning around on the Wounded Presbyterian website, and I came across and I read the 12-page mission study. If you haven't read that, you should read that. And I noticed that one section was called Areas for Improvement, and there were about 10 or 12 areas for improvement in rank order. And I noticed that this theme kept coming up. Number three was, we seem to be stuck, and we need to get unstuck. Number four, we need to grow deeper as disciples. Number six, we need to help our youth and children grow in their faith. And so I'd like to speak to you on how to get unstuck spiritually. This is a theme that all of us feel, wrestle with, we're all confronted with this, including the preacher today. Many times we feel stuck, spinning our wheels. Remember the old Greek myth of Sisyphus? Remember Sisyphus? He was condemned for all eternity to push a rock up a very steep incline.
Is that me?
Welcome. Good to see you here. sorry, I flipped the switch and the red light came on. I thought that meant it was on. So sorry.
Slide all the way over because it's not looking yet.
One more. There it is. Okay. So we live in such a technological society, don't we? I have to switch it twice, which is stretching me to the breaking point. So the myth of Sisyphus, he was condemned for all eternity to push a rock up a very steep incline. Do you remember this? And when he got right to the top, the rock would roll back. And then he'd push it up again. And then he'd push it up. And that was his eternal existence. And sometimes we feel that way in the spiritual world. I'm getting somewhere. I'm making some progress. Here we go again. Okay, whoa, rah, rah. How to get unstuck spiritually. You may identify with Keith Green. I'm so glad that we played that song. Did you hear it during the offertory? What can be done for an old heart like mine? My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. What can be done? What can be done? How to get unstuck spiritually. This sermon is for you if you've been a Christian for 22 years, but you still find yourself dealing with explosions of anger. You don't like that about yourself. You know that, you know, after 22 years, things should be a little progressively sanctified. What can be done? This sermon is for you if you've been a Christian since you were a kid, but even to this day, you find that you always have to have the last word, the last laugh, the loudest laugh, the latest knowledge, the loudest opinion. In other words, pride. You recognize it in yourself. Not something you like, but you're stuck. This sermon is for you if you've been a Christian for 6 months and you're wondering how to have victory over that old habit. This sermon is for you if you're not a Christian and you're wondering, how come Christians look so much like non-Christians? You know, some are good, some are bad, most are in between, just sort of normal people. If you become a Christian, you want to make sure that it makes a difference. And you ask, well, what makes a difference? The old phrase, the old way to, you know, describe this was, what are the means of grace? What means has he provided to grow us up, to get us unstuck spiritually? And we take heart from the fact that God is concerned about this, and he has given us the means of grace. He's given us the wherewithal to progress step by step in becoming more Christ-like. Second Peter says, his divine power has granted us all things necessary for life and godliness. We take heart from that. He has given us the means of grace. All things necessary. And so the question is, how does a person grow spiritually? How do we become mature in Christ? How do we get unstuck spiritually? Now, I'm going to give you three suggestions from the Word of God in just a minute. But before we do that, let me give a couple of disclaimers. First disclaimer is, this is a big topic. And one sermon can't say everything on this. For example, in this sermon, I'm not going to say anything about prayer. But surely prayer is one of these means of grace. I'm not going to say anything in this sermon about the Lord's Supper, about communion. But many people find that partaking of that the body and blood of Christ, participating with him, is a means of, you know, a little spiritual energy, a little bit more being conformed into his image. So the first disclaimer is, this is a big topic. We're just sort of, opening the door on this topic. Second disclaimer, it's hard to systematize this. It's hard to turn spiritual growth into three easy steps in sort of like a how-to book. Spiritual growth for dummies. Your path of spiritual growth will not look exactly like anyone else's. So you can take comfort from that. This is not a cookie-cutter thing. Having said that, there are principles. There are, and we're going to look at some means of grace. But it's hard to systematize this. Third disclaimer, it takes time. Be patient with yourself. God is patient with you. It takes time. I have been a Christian for more than 40 years. And it seems like I'd be a little further down the road by now, at least when I look at myself. It takes time. So we take comfort from the bumper sticker, be patient with me, God isn't done with me yet. Yeah. Progressive sanctification. Fourth disclaimer, final disclaimer, we never will arrive. You're never going to like, woohoo, I made it, I crossed the finish line, now I'm fully sanctified, now the perfect image, you're never going to get there. We take comfort and inspiration from Pablo Casals, the great cellist. When he was 93 years old, he was still practicing 3 hours a day. Someone said, why? His answer, I think I'm making some progress. I think I'm making a little bit of progress. All right, so that's introduction, how to get unstuck spiritually. Let me give you three suggestions, three means of grace, three directives from the Word of God. How does one grow spiritually? We are commanded to do so. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's my first means of grace. Coming right up. Number one, meditate on God's Word. This is a principle. Spiritual growth is somehow in your life, it's not a cookie cutter, but it's going to be connected to the breath of God, Word of God, the mind of God, the heart of God communicated through His Word. I'm using the word meditate on the Word. And you may find yourself making a little progress. the word describes itself, ties itself into what we call sanctification, describing itself as fire that burns away dross, a hammer that breaks up stony hearts, rain that replenishes a countryside, milk that nourishes babies, helps them grow, a sword that pierces even our thoughts and intentions and divides the heart of humans. The same image, the sword is used as an offensive weapon to battle the devil. The Bible describes itself as a mirror that shows us our true selves. It is a lamp for our feet. It is a light for guidance for our path. One more slide. Can you advance it for us? Our Lord said to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken." One more click. Next click. Our Lord prayed to his Father, "Sanctify them, make them holy, help them grow up. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. You have been born again through the word." From infancy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. And so our first principle is that spiritual growth is going to be connected in some way with the word of God. And I'm using the word meditate. Meditate on God's word. You know Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he ruminates, meditates, dwells, cogitates, chews the cud. He meditates on this day and night." And he is like a tree. It's beautiful. Planted by streams of water. It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That's what you and I want. And so we use the word meditate on the word of God. So, are you stuck spiritually? Could it somehow be related to this? What might you do to upgrade the place of the word of God in your Christian walk? Not cookie cutter. It's going to look different from each of us, but you might want to take notes during sermons. Meditate. Pull that out during the week. Tape it up on the mirror in your bathroom. Meditate. Usually sermons are kind of one shot. Whoop, you leave church and that's it. Do you want to get into a small group, into a Bible study? This church has them. That's sort of like group meditation. You ask questions, you answer, you what does that mean? Well, it's a good way to get the word into our hearts. Daily devotions. Many Christians throughout the history of the church have found great help in spiritual growth. Reading the Bible, praying, every day. When you read it, slow down. Don't just, kind of speed read. Meditate. Think about. Probably less is more. Probably more time spent in less scripture rather than just racing through it. How might you upgrade the place of the Word of God in your Christian experience? Music? Music's a terrific way to get the Word of God into our minds and hearts. Music does something and kind of pours hot water through this layer of congealed fat, around and boils and goes straight through. There's an emotive and affective element when you couple the Word of God with music. That's terrific. Memorization. Richard, who was it that was talking about memorization? Pastor's wife, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Those are just some suggestions. We'll leave it up to you and the Holy Spirit to figure out, so what's this look like for me? I know it's somehow I've got to get the word of God, you know, going in my heart and in my life in order to get unstuck spiritually. Second suggestion, cultivate spiritual friendships. We need each other. God has designed us as Christians, as the church, to not go it alone. Now, to be sure, there's, you know, a personal responsibility, and there are no spiritual grandchildren. There's only the children of God. It doesn't pass down automatically. So, in a sense, we will stand before God. But in another sense, we're a body. And you may find great help in getting unstuck spiritually by leveraging and increasing what I'm calling spiritual friendships. Friendships are great. You're playing softball and whatever, being on a tennis team. All of that's terrific. Spiritual friendships. People that speak the truth to you, that encourage you, that pray for you. People you trust. People that are walking with you in this road we call the spiritual life. The American golden plover is a small bird, but it's a champion flyer. The American golden plover weighs 4 to 9 ounces, but it can fly as high as 16,000 feet, and if it gets the right wind current, it can fly as fast as 60 to 100 miles an hour. I got this information from that magisterial source of all information, Wikipedia. Every year, the American golden plover migrates from the Arctic to the southern tip of South America, including 3,000 miles over water nonstop. Scientists have figured out that the body of this little bird doesn't have enough mass, it doesn't have enough energy, it doesn't have enough fat or whatever for its wings to beat 1/3 of a million times, especially over water, nonstop. But they do it every year. How do they do it? They fly in formation, so that they don't have to expend all that energy. Someone else is expending it, and then someone else takes their place. And it's a team. You follow my analogy? We need each other. As I'm speaking, is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, ministering to you? Is he bringing to mind, like, oh, yeah, I know I need that. I sort of cut myself off. I used to be part of this, and I... Maybe the reason we're stuck spiritually is because we're trying to go it alone. Yeah. Fallen into the ocean. But the scripture says that we need these kinds of relationships where you are receiving the truth from someone else and where you are speaking the truth about yourself. Receive the truth from others. By speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, into Christ. By means of speaking the truth in love, not just blasting people, by the body edifying itself this way, by speaking into each other's lives, speaking, in Greek it's one word, by truthing it, by behaving in a truthful, faithful, by speaking faithfully, in love, we'll grow up. We'll grow up. Gordon MacDonald, for many years, was the pastor of Grace Chapel in Lexington, Massachusetts. Gordon MacDonald tells the story of someone speaking the truth to him. He was on a speaking tour in Japan, and he was with an older friend. They were together on this tour. And he said, we were walking down the street in Yokohama, Japan, and a name of a mutual, another person, another friend came up. And Gordon MacDonald says, I said something unkind about him. It was a put down. It was a cut. And my older friend stopped right there on the sidewalk in Yokohama, Japan. And he got close to me, put his face right there, and he said, Gordon, a man who says he loves God wouldn't talk that way about a friend. MacDonald says, you could have put a knife into my ribs and the pain would not have been any less, but you know what? There have been 10,000 times following that date when I've been saved from making a jerk of myself because my friend does what friends do. They speak the truth in love. What happened to Gordon MacDonald? What did we just witness there, right, in Yokohama, Japan? We witnessed a little spurt of spiritual growth. Another step forward. More like Christ. Growing up into him. Into the stature. Into the proportion. Growing up into him. Communicating. Talking about absent friends. The way Jesus does. Do you have this kind of relationship? Are you this kind of person for someone else? I don't think we can formulatize this. These relationships have to happen organically and naturally, but pray for this kind of relationship. Put yourself in the place, into a place where this kind of relationship can form. Small groups are often, you know, effective in doing this. Men's group, women's group. We need a place where we can receive the truth from others. That will help us greatly to get unstuck spiritually. Well, what about this? Not just receiving the truth, but speaking the truth about ourselves. In other words, confession. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. And you'll be healed. We need a safe, priestly relationship, little p, not big p, priest, little, you know, priesthood of the believers. We need this kind of relationship with each other where we can admit, acknowledge, confess, and the other person will receive that and not judge you and, you know, scold you, but they'll pray for you. And I believe that spiritual growth goes just like this. With that kind of spiritual friendship. Confessing our sins to one another does something to break the power of sin. When we walk in darkness, when we pretend everything's good, I don't have any problems, you know, and when we walk that way, spiritual growth is going to be pretty hard to come by. But when we walk in transparency, when we walk in the light with shields lowered, Lord will minister. He'll grow us up. I love the line from the old hymn, Rock of Ages. One of the lines says, be for sin. It's a prayer. Dear Lord, please, be for sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. Yes, we're saved from the guilt. Justification, yes, you know, I pronounce you righteous. You're my child. You've been born again. Woohoo, yeah. Save me from the power of it. What can be done for an old heart like mine? And maybe this is a means of grace that can be part of the answer to that prayer. Be for sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power. spiritual friendships. Number three. Let trials have their way. Perhaps we should better word this, let God have his way in trials. Here's what I'm thinking. We believe in a sovereign, loving, present God. And so when we go through trials, we believe, this is our faith, that it didn't catch God by surprise, like, whoa, how'd that happen? Rats, I wish that had... No, he allows, he orchestrates, he permits, he allows these things for our growth. This is a hard truth. Hang on one second. But I think it's a biblical truth that God uses hard times to conform us to the image of Christ. Many verses teach this. For example, Romans. We rejoice. Oh man, can you believe this? We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. A few years ago, my wife and I were on a sabbatical, a lovely, relaxing season of our lives, but we were also in a trial. I won't go into the details, but just let me say it was kind of a normal trial. Many people in this room are probably in this trial right now. Many have been through you. Many will go through it. But it was very, very heavy on our hearts. And we were on sabbatical. We were in the lovely country of Scotland, and I was out in the countryside jogging. And when I was running, I would often pray. And often my prayers would deal with this trial. And my prayer sounded sort of like this. Lord, please help. Oh, God, please change it. Lord, ha, do something. That's how I was praying. And I kind of stopped. I kept running, but mentally I stopped. And I said, Lord, I've been doing all the talking here. Is there anything that you would like to say to me? And you guys, I don't have these experiences very often. Some of you do. I'm envious of your... But I very distinctly received a message. And the message was this. Trust me. And I think... my trust level, my Christ-likeness, who trusted his Father, my growth into the image of Christ, I think my trust level went kind of from there to... because in the Lord's grace and through his sovereign power, I was allowing him to have his way in a trial. That trial is not completed. It is ongoing, even as I stand before you. Trust me. Trust me. I don't know what you're going through. Sometimes I wish that as we preach or even as we interact with each other, sometimes I wish we could wheel out the heartometer and we could look into each other. If only we knew what's going on inside our circumstances. But let me tell you, you've lived long enough, and I've lived long enough to know that all of us in this room are the walking wounded. Every person in this room And I think we need each other. And I think we need to listen to the Holy Spirit. What is He teaching us? What is He inviting us into in this trial? That's a phrase I've learned recently. What is He inviting us into? It's a positive way to look at a trial, isn't it? Not that the trial's happy, not that it feels good, not yay, yay, trial. No. But what is He inviting you into? Our belief is it didn't happen by accident. Okay? What's He inviting you into? More trust? More holiness? Let trials have their way. What can be done in a heart like mine? My name is Sisyphus. How can I grow spiritually? Meditate on the Word of God. Cultivate spiritual friendships. Let God have His way in trials. Through Christ our Lord.